The title of today's message is,
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Thank you, Carlos, for the special effects. Are you ready?
Always ready.
Yeah, so I'm sure many of us have many times asked yourselves or asked ourselves this question. Am I ready for something? Am I ready for that test? Am I ready for getting married? Am I ready for preaching or for talking to that person or for giving a testimony? Am I ready? Am I ready for have children? Many of us have asked this question in the past. We have asked that question in the past until finally we decided it was time. And the question today, the sermon title, is not related to any other fields of imagination, any other normal things of life. It's related to our readiness to that decision that will bring eternal consequences. And when I was giving this title to the sermon, I was thinking about myself, my life, because of a situation that I was going through. And the question was, am I ready to meet the Lord? Whether He comes tonight or tomorrow, or whether I die today and wake up in one of the resurrections. Am I ready? So that was the question. And that's the question that I'm going to be asking you so you can think about your lives while we go through this message. In Matthew 25, 13, if you want to open your Bibles, Matthew 25, verse 13, I also have the words in the screen, so all the text will be shared here in the screen so you can follow. And it says, Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So the Bible clearly states that we don't know the hour. We don't know the times. So how can we be ready for something we don't know when it's going to happen? That was something that was going through my mind as I thought about this. And then if you go to chapter 24 of Matthew and verse 50, the master of the servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him and at an hour that he's not aware of. Again, same thing. We are expecting something to happen, but we don't know when it's going to happen. And how can we be ready for something that we don't know if it is close or if it is far from now? And many times I've asked this question to me, to myself. I've been a member of the church for many years, 30 years now. I didn't grow up as a Seventh-day Adventist, but I came when I was a teenager. And I've worked in many different departments of my local church back in Brazil. I've helped in Sabbath school, Pathfinders Club, Bible studies, everything. I was never a preacher, so this is officially my first time preaching. And I hope the language is not a big barrier. So, working with the church, basically growing up in the environment, still, that question would quite often come to my mind. Am I ready? Am I doing all in my reach, in my power, to do what God asked me to do? And we know that sometimes our Christian experience may look like a roller coaster. Some days you feel like you're up with God, very close relationship, And then other days you feel like you're down and far, and you find yourself being in sin and with guilty. So that happened to me many times. And then I remember some of our spirit of prophecy quotes about the state of God's people, God's professed people. And I'm going to read some of these quotes for you today. It was shown the state of God's professed people. Many of them were in great darkness. So she's not talking about the world. She's talking about God's professed people. Yet seem to be insensible of their true condition. So you're in darkness and insensible to your true condition. The sensibilities of a large number seem to be benumbed in regard to spiritual and eternal things, while their minds seemed all awake to their worldly interests. Many were cherishing idols in their hearts and were practicing iniquity, which separated them from God and caused them to be bodies of darkness. I saw but a few who stood in the light, having discernment and spirituality to discover these stumbling blocks and remove them out of the way. Men who stand in very responsible positions at the heart of the work are asleep. She's not talking about all. She's talking about some, a good portion. Satan has paralyzed them in order that his plans and devices may not be discerned, while he's active to ensnare, deceive, and destroy. And this is in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 2, page 439. So again, when I was thinking about this, am I asleep? Am I able to see all the stumbling blocks Satan has put in my path? Am I able to discern and remove them? Or am I just tumbling? Another quote from Spiritual Prophecy. Christ's followers are required to come out of the world and be separated and touch not the unclean. And they have the promise of being the sons and daughters of the Most High, members of the royal family. But if the conditions are not complied with on their part, they will not, cannot realize the fulfillment of the promise. A profession of Christianity is nothing in the sight of God, but true, humble, willing obedience to his requirements designates the children of his adoption, the recipients of his grace, the partakers of his great salvation. Such will be peculiar, a spectacle unto the world, to angels and to men. Their peculiar, holy character will be discernible and will distinctly separate them from the world, from its affections and lust. Again, Second Testimonies, page 441. So, last year, in the end of the year, about end of November, I was diagnosed with COVID. And when it started, I just had a very light fever for a few days. And I didn't know it was COVID yet. And I was just relaxed, waiting for the fever to go away. It was very light. And I just thought it was nothing. Maybe a cold. But a few days with the fever, my wife convinced me to go get tested because she said, well, if it is COVID, you can take care and not be with other people to spread it. So, yep, I agreed and I went to get tested. And 2 days later, or 1 day later, I think it was 2 days later, we got the confirmation. Yeah, it was COVID. It was positive. And in a blink of eye, that little light fever became the worst nightmare. And things escalated quickly, the symptoms. I started feeling tired, really tired, so tired that I couldn't walk. And oxygen started to drop, saturation going down little by little, and then I could barely breathe and barely walk. I couldn't go to the bathroom. And then finally we had a oxygen concentrator brought to our home from our Eden Valley angels and friends. So I was put in the oxygen, and it was total lack of energy in a way that you only know if you had gone through it. I never thought I would feel that bad as I felt. And you know that nights are worse. Where's my clicker? Right here. Whatever sickness you have, we know that nights are the worst. Everything goes worse during the nights. And one night I was feeling so miserable that I couldn't see myself coming out of that. I started having that terrible realization that I'm going to die, and that's it. That'll be the end. And it's not a pleasing thought to think this is going to be the end. So I started having some different thoughts, like God was putting some texts in my mind to remind me of His promises. And one of these promises is in Psalm 91, verses 10 and 11, where it says, "No evil shall befall on you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways." So as I remember this text, I started asking the Lord, "Please, Lord, You promised. It's not me. You promise no evil, no plague shall come." And I started to cling to this promise. And another verse came to mind. "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For You are my praise." Jeremiah 17:14. Again, another promise of healing, of salvation. And I was, during the night, talking to the Lord and pleading for healing. And saying again, "Lord, You promised, and I wanna receive Your blessing. Why am I sick? Why am I even sick in the first place? Why am I dying?" That's what I was feeling. I was really feeling I was dying. And I just kept repeating these verses in my mind. And one night I was impressed to think about God's suffering, or Christ's suffering for me, everything that He went through. And some things started to come to mind. And then I was looking for the texts. And one of the texts that goes in details in the Spirit of Prophecy says, "Upon Christ as our substitute and surety was laid the iniquity of us all. He was counted a transgressor, that He might redeem us from the condemnation of the law. The guilt of every descendant of Adam was pressing upon His heart. The wrath of God against sin, the terrible manifestation of His displeasure because of iniquity, filled the soul of His Son with consternation. All His life, Christ had been publishing to a falling world the good news of the Father's mercy and pardoning love. Salvation for the chief of sinners was His theme. But now, with the terrible weight of the guilt He bears, he cannot see the Father's reconciling face. The withdrawal of divine countenance from the Savior in this hour of supreme anguish pierced his heart with a sorrow that can never be fully understood by man. So great was this agony that his physical pain was hardly felt. Satan, with his fierce temptation, wrung the heart of Jesus. The Savior could not see through the portals of the tomb. Hope did not present to him his coming forth from the grave, a conqueror. So he was hopeless. He couldn't see past the grave. He couldn't see being victorious. Or tell him of the Father's acceptance of the sacrifice. He feared that sin was so offensive to God that their separation was to be eternal. Christ felt the anguish which the sinner will feel when mercy shall no longer plead for the guilty race. It was the sense of sin bringing the Father's wrath upon him as man's substitute that made the cup he drank so bitter and broke the heart of the Son of God. And this is in the Desire of Ages, page 753. So Christ couldn't see past the grave. And I was in that kind of anguish or agony, and I couldn't also see past the grave. So I started to think, how far did Christ go for me? And now I am hopeless. Should I be hopeless? And again, the question, am I ready? Am I ready? So I was really feeling bad for not being up for God's standards. I was thinking about everything that I could do and I wasn't doing. And the only thought was the bar is too hard. The bar is too high. So God sets standards that are so high that it's almost impossible, or it's impossible. And again, another quote, it's a solemn statement that I make to the church that not one in 20 whose names are registered upon the church books are prepared to close their earthly history and would be as verily without God and without hope in the world as the common sinner. They are professedly serving God, but they are more earnestly serving mammon. This half and half work is a constant denying of Christ rather than a confessing of Christ. So many have brought into the church their own unsubdued spirit, unrefined. Their spiritual taste is perverted by their own immoral, debasing corruptions, symbolizing the world in spirit, in heart, in purpose. I lay down my pen and lift up my soul in prayer that the Lord will breathe upon his backslidden people who are as dry bones that they may live. The end is near, stealing upon us so stealthily, so imperceptibly, so noiselessly, like the muffled tread of the thief in the night, to surprise the sleepers off guard and unready. May the Lord grant you bring his Holy Spirit upon hearts that are now at ease, that they may no longer sleep as do others, but watch and be sober. Christian service, page 41. I'm going to highlight this part here again. Not one in 20. Are you ready? The statistics here are really not favorable at all. Not one in 20 means less than 5%. And it's not about, she's not talking about the world. She's talking about the church. The ones who are registered in the church books. It's a terrible scenario. So I started thinking about my life, about my family. about the future events to come, about the prophecies, about the 144,000 in their great work, all the exciting events. And I thought, I wasn't ready. And I could only ask for mercy. So I would, God, please have mercy, because I'm not ready. This picture is little ways up the hill in the Eden Valley Cemetery. And two nights during that time, I dreamed about that field. You can see here, it's an excavator, because a little before that last year, I dug a grave up there for one of our neighbors that was about to die, and he asked to be buried here. So we brought equipment up there, and we dug a grave. And in my dreams, that hunting thought about that grave. And I was staring the grave in my dream, and just thinking that was not our neighbor's, that is mine. And again, I started claiming God's promise, even while I was dreaming. And when I wake up, I was horrified. And I remember Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, all. It's not just a few or some, it's all. Who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with long loving kindness and tender mercies. He promised to heal us from all our diseases. And I claimed many, many times, mercy, Lord. And then, again, the question, how can I be ready? Because I still couldn't see how could we possibly be ready. And another text came to mind. Perfection, holiness, nothing short of this would give them success in carrying out the principles he had given them. Without this holiness, the human heart is selfish, sinful, and vicious. Holiness will lead its possessor to be fruitful and abound in all good works. He will never become weary in well-doing. Neither will he look for promotion in this world. He will look forward for promotion to the time when the majesty of heaven shall exalt the sanctified ones to his throne. Then shall he say unto them, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The Lord then enumerates the works of self-denial and mercy, compassion and righteousness, which they had wrought. Holiness of heart will produce right actions. Perfection, holiness, nothing short of this. And again, the thought, how can this be possible? This is impossible. That was the only conclusion that I could have, that I could make when I was thinking about that. So then after prayer and supplication and meditating on God's words and his promises and everything that he says he will do, other thoughts started coming to mind and coming back to memory. None need fail of attaining in his sphere to perfection of Christian character. So none need fail of attaining that. By the sacrifice of Christ, provision has been made for the believer to receive all things that pertain to life and godliness. God calls upon us to reach the standard of perfection and places before us the example of Christ's character. In his humanity, perfected by a life of constant resistance of evil, the Savior showed that through cooperation with divinity, human beings may in this life attain to perfection of character. This is God's assurance to us that we too may obtain complete victory. Acts of the Apostles, page 531. This is God's assurance. And what does this word assurance mean? Who can help? Sorry? For sure. Yeah, for sure. What else? Can hear it. Say it louder. Guarantee. Yeah, what else? Confidence. Yeah, let's see what the dictionary says. Assurance is a positive declaration intended to give confidence, a promise. So, this is God's promise. This is God's declaration to give us confidence that is possible. God has given us His best gift, even His only begotten Son, to uplift, ennoble, and feed us by putting on us His own perfection of character for a home in His kingdom. Jesus came to our world and lived as He expects His followers to live, putting on us His own perfection of character. His own, not ours. And this is in Messages to Young People, page 63. Through the Spirit, the believer becomes a partaker of the divine nature. Christ has given His Spirit as a divine power to overcome all hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil and to impress His own character upon His church. Of the Spirit, Jesus said, "He shall glorify Me." The Savior came to glorify the Father by the demonstration of His love. So the Spirit was to glorify Christ by revealing His grace to the world. The very image of God is to be reproduced in humanity. The honor of God, the honor of Christ, is involved in the perfection of the character of His people. Desire of Ages, page 672. And again, I highlight this last part. The honor of God, the honor of Christ, is involved in the perfection of the character of His people. This is not about us. This is not about anything that we can do to be ready. It's about the honor of Christ to have us ready. We just need to allow Him to do the work on us, because there's nothing we can do by ourselves. This work cannot be done by ourselves. Philippians 2 verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So, even if we don't want to, He can put the want on us. He can put the will on us. And if we can't do, He can do for us. He can put the actions on us so we can act, not by ourselves. God calls us to be partakers of His nature so He can have us ready. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So we can see great and precious promises. So through His promises, we'll be partakers of the divine nature. So after a week of battle. I started feeling better. I started getting better from my sickness. And God really impressed me to start writing down everything that I was going through my mind while I was in sickness. And for a few days I was going through the text and putting together, and God was bringing me to memory everything that He brought to my mind while I was in that battle with Him. And in the end, I felt peace. I was still thinking that I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to die. I wasn't ready to end my journey here. But I was in peace that I wasn't hopeless anymore, because God promises that we can have hope, because He's ready to do everything for us. We just need to allow Him to work on us. So, God bless you.